We're going to focus on the section in our pamphlet that says exalt Jesus. Exalt Jesus. And that's on the inside, and you see a man on his knees, his hands lifted up. And in spite of what's going on, you see the little bullet that's up under there. It says, regardless of the situation and the problem, lift up Jesus. Exalt Jesus above your problem. Exalt Jesus above your situation. Exalt Jesus through your tests. Exalt Jesus through your tests. Now, that is a challenge. That's something that you oftentimes have been hearing me say that here lately, especially during the Bible class. A lot of that stuff is easier said than done. We know how to talk it. We know how to say it. But to actually do it, that's the challenge. That's the challenge. And we can't do this by ourselves. Remember what Job said. You can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. You can't, in other words, you can't help yourself by yourself. You are powerless or impotent. The word impotent means powerless. You're powerless or impotent to perform the things that Jesus requires of you to perform because of that nature that's inside of you. Scripture declares that the Ethiopian cannot change his skin and the leopard cannot change his spot. Then may you also do good when it's your custom. In other words, when it's your nature to do evil. You have to understand that when Jesus came, he came to give us power to overcome that nature. Go over to 1 John. Didn't intend to go there. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Starting at verse number 1. See that? Yes. So you see what the enemy is trying to prevent you and I from doing is to believe Jesus. He doesn't want you to have no faith in Jesus. He wants you to believe everything else but the Lord Jesus. Whether it come from television, whether it come from laboratory research, people's findings. You say, well, why do all of these things pop up? And why are we living in such an information-driven society? Think about that. All of these tools that you have just at your fingertip. I said, even like your cell phones, all of the information that you can locate on your cell phone, even if you can't even type, technology's got to the point that you can talk to that thing and ask it questions and it give you answers. And people automatically assume because it said it that that's the truth. I worked in a position one time before where I was tasked with restructuring a customer service department. And when I went in there, went a little bit more than what with that. They really kind of had me restructuring just about everything that they were doing concerning operations. And part of that was part of my responsibility was first seeing how they were doing things and implementing, finding a way to implement change where it did not impact productivity. And that meant really basically firing people, firing and hiring people to make sure that when you let a person go, it didn't impact productivity. So that's a challenge because you have to keep morale up because they know you're coming. And you still got to keep people happy about their position. So that was my job. That was my task. And I say all of that to say, you know, when the Lord really gives you truth and he's giving you truth to kind of change your view on things, trying to change your view on how you look at a thing. And I say that, I'll tell you that story that I was just telling you about, because the lady, one of the owners of the company, we would always laugh because whenever we were in little training sessions, people would stand up and say this when someone would ask a question, and we would be amazed at how many answers people gave based upon Google. And you say, well, where did you find that from? Well, I Googled it. She would just be looking, and we would look at each other, and it was amazing to see how people automatically assumed that because Google said it, it was truth, or because Google said it, it was fact. And, you know, that's what happened really with a lot of the politics stuff with social media, because foreign entities found that in order to control the narrative or control elections, all you had to do was give people a bunch of lies and put a picture with the lie. And automatically people will say, such and such said it, so it must be true. And they'll see it. You know, you'll see people with pictures of Photoshop. Automatically now people have Photoshop with people as things like mermaids or whatever, jelly-looking things, swimming up on the floor. And first thing, mermaids is real. I told you. I see it. It's right here. It's on my phone. It's got to be real. They got a picture of it right there. And they don't even realize how your mind could be controlled just by simple information. Anything about that, this is not a new thing. Scripture says that the God of this world understands that. And he gives us all of these things, the scripture says, to do what? Blind our minds. That's what he gives it to you for. You say, well, why does he give you all of this stuff? It's to blind your mind. Blind your mind to what? Reality. What is your reality? Pay attention to how you were born. You and I were born, according to the scripture, in the state or the condition of sin. We come into the world that way from birth, according to the scripture, wherefore as by one man, that's Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death passed upon who? All men. So that's problem number one. That's my main focus, is to get out of sin. And the devil doesn't want people to pay attention to that. He wants you to pay attention to all of the little limelights and all of the things that are going on. But he still the truth keeps exposing itself. The reality keeps on exposing itself. Even in the midst of all of the celebrations that go on the television, that's walking in the land, all of the music, all the fun, all the fanfare, you still hear the wage of sin is what? Death. You still see death's influence in the land. And some people even have enough sense to say it's out of control. Oh, the violence is out of control. Everywhere you turn, it's just death, death, death. Well, people don't, that's not new information. If you open up scriptures, the scriptures already told you that the wage of sin is what? Death. The payment for sin is death. You say, well, who is it that's trying to keep me from seeing this? The God of this world. He's blinding my mind to that truth. Why? Because the only thing he wants me to see is sin. Right. He wants me to see sin, and he wants me to die in sin. Because he knows once I die in sin, I have to face sin's judgment. Right. Remember, the wage of sin is death. Death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Right? So you see how the equation goes out? I'm born in sin, and the wage of sin is what? Death. And death and hell is going to be cast into the what? The lake of fire. See how the enemy have planned that thing? To keep the human's mind blinded. Because if he stays blind, he'll stay in sin. And if he gets out of sin, he say, I got to find a way to blind his mind again. To make him think that sin is going to turn into something that it's not. Because the scripture is true. The wage of sin is death. Right? Come on, that's true. The wage of sin is death. And then you have to look at the other part of the equation. As I said, death and hell are going to be cast into the what? Now, you have to say within yourself, I believe that to be true. I believe that to be true. And if I believe it to be true, I need to go to the one that said it. And the one that said this truth is Jesus, right? And Jesus tells you in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 1, whosoever does what? Believe it that Jesus is the Christ, meaning the anointed one, the one that was promised in the Old Testament to redeem man from sin. Isaiah put it this way, who hath believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord meaning his power, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Huh? He shows us his power all the time. When you look at creation, you are seeing the power of Jesus Christ. Huh? Come on, when you look at that sun, when you look at the bees, when you look at the grass, when you look at trees, you are seeing the creative power of Jesus Christ. Now, it's up to you to look even in the mirror at yourself. When you look in the mirror at yourself, you are looking at the creative power of Jesus. He's allowing certain things to happen to you that goes against what you learn. Come on, you know it. When you go outside and you put water on dirt, it turns to mud. But yet when you get in the shower and you wash, you stay intact. And you say, but hold up, I thought I was dirt. Yes, you are dirt. If you die and somebody wets you up, if you go in that casket and ain't nothing in there but dirt and bones, and you put water on that dirt, it turns to mud. Huh? But why don't I turn to mud when I get into the shower? Because you've got the source of life flowing through you. Jesus is showing you his creative power day by day, whether you pay attention to it or not. He's still showing you who he is. Scripture says that. Well, but the Lord is showing us this. So who's going to believe it? Who's going to believe this report that God came in the flesh? Huh? Come on. God is a spirit. And spirits have no body. They have no flesh. And in order for God to pay redemption's price, remember redemption's price required blood. In order for God to shed blood, he had to get in the body. And when he got in that body, he named that body Jesus. He revealed the name of salvation to humanity. He said, when you look at this body, you're looking at your Savior. You're looking at your Redeemer. You're looking at the one that can free you from sin. Huh? Come on, that's true. I don't care how horrible sin has become in your life. But you've got to open up your mind. You've got to open up your eyes. You've got to remove unbelief. And you've got to look unto Jesus. Huh? You've got to look and you've got to see Jesus as your Savior, as your Deliverer. As the one that when sin has had his way in your life, he is the one that can free me. He is the one that can deliver me from sin. You got to say, I don't want sin to stay in me. I don't want sin to be my ruin. I don't want sin to be the sum of who I am. When Jesus looks at the resume of my life, don't you realize I don't care how much you accomplish, when he sees that word sin on it, it automatically condemns you. Huh? But when the Lord looks at the resume of a life of a saint, of the righteous, he doesn't see sin, he sees blood. Huh? Everywhere that I had sin on my record, he has replaced sin with blood. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received from the traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ, right? That's right. When the Lord look at me, I want him to see blood. Huh? He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I won't bring you into condemnation. That's why you want the Lord to see the blood. When he looks at you, you want him to see the blood. You got to say within yourself, Lord, get rid of all of the wrong. Take every wrong thing out of my mind. I don't want this to define who I am. Huh? Every mistake, every shortcoming, all of those little snake bites on the front of your bulletin. You don't want that to be who you are. But you want to look to Jesus for the Lord to do what? Save you. save me from all of the bites, Lord Jesus. All of the infections of sin. Everywhere sin is trying to bring my life ruined. Jesus, I want you to deliver me from this, right? That's the truth. That's why I say, whosoever does what? Just believe that Jesus is the Christ. Huh? Is what? Born of God. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Come on. Scripture said he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did what received him, to them gave he power to become. Don't you realize it's a process? It don't just happen overnight. You got to sit on the wheel. Y'all are going to the pottery class, but you got to be willing to sit on that wheel and ask the Lord to keep on working with you. Keep on shaping me and molding me into what you would have me to be. Take away all of my imperfections. Amen. Take away all the times that I've leaned to the flesh and the flesh has brought me damage. Take all of those thoughts away from me. And you'll know when the Lord take it away from you, because you don't want to walk down that path no more. But as long as you keep a desire to follow behind wickedness, your mind is messed up. And you need Jesus to deliver you from that stuff. That's why you need to ask the Lord Jesus, take all of this stuff away from me. Anything that is not like you, Jesus, take this stuff away from me. Why? Because I want to be born again. Huh? You shall become the sons of God. That were not born of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. Right? That's the truth. This new birth comes from Jesus. When you're talking about the new birth and the Lord is telling you to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, he's not just telling you to do this just so you can be happy. You go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or for the removal of sin. That means when I go down in that water in the name of Jesus, Jesus is doing something for me. What is he doing? He is removing sin from my soul. Huh? You have to say within yourself, I don't want to die in sin. That means you've got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? So that Jesus can remove that sin from your soul. Now then after he removes that sin, you need a keeping agent. You need somebody to preserve you and to keep you right. You need somebody to keep on working with you so that you can become everything Jesus desires for you to be, right? That's truth. Not what I want to be, but I want to be what the Lord desires for me to be. And I got to have that mind to remove self out of the way and have a mind to get up on that wheel and keep letting the Lord shape me. Keep letting the Lord make me into what he would have wanted me to be. You say, Elder Scudder, what does it mean when you're getting on that wheel? What does it look like as the Lord is shaping you and molding you? As the lesson is telling you, that's why you got to exalt the name of Jesus. That's why we say, well, Elder Scudder, what does it look like when I'm on that wheel? That means I'm calling Jesus. I'm using the vessel that I want the Lord to shape. The vessel that I want the Lord to remake into his image. Huh? Come on, don't you want to be looking like Jesus? You better have a desire to want to look like Jesus. You better have a desire to want to go back with Jesus when he comes. And if you got that desire, you got to have a mind to stay up on that wheel and let the Lord shape you and mold you. Well, what must the vessel do? What must that temple do? If it wants the Lord to come in and shape and mold it, the temple has got to cry out holy. Temple has got to cry out holy. Temple is unholy, but the temple has got to cry out holy. And the only way the temple can cry out holy is got to use the name. Huh? That name of Jesus is salvation. That name of Jesus, it shapes you and it molds you into what Jesus would have you to be. That's why as you go through, as you suffer, as you go through tests, you've got to keep invoking the name of Jesus. No matter what your shortcomings, no matter what your weakness, you still got to invoke the name of Jesus. Invoke it how long? Till he brings you out of this body into a glorified body, right? That's true. Till he bring you out of this form of imperfection into a form of perfection. Huh? As long as I'm in this, I'm in a form of imperfection. I'm prone to it. This body is always going to be itching for mistakes. is going to be itching to do something that's not pleasing to Jesus. And I need Jesus to help me. That's why we call him. Because I'm letting the Lord Jesus know I need your help. You are my Savior. Remember, you can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. Only one that can help you do this is Jesus. Only one that can help you with your weaknesses is Jesus. That's why you call on him. Why? Because you need him to help you with you, right? That's the truth. Through all that stuff be going on in your mind, stuff that's not like Jesus, you're not going to go back with Jesus like that. You need the Lord to take that stuff away from you. All those behaviors that are not in agreement with Scripture, you're not going back with Jesus like that. You need the Lord to take that stuff away from you. You need to ask the Lord Jesus, I need to be born again. Born the way you want me to be born. He told you, born of the water and born of his spirit. Say, oh, this gonna, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. But you got to maintain that thing. You got to maintain Jesus. You got to keep that environment holy. You got to keep that environment welcoming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is righteous. Jesus ain't sometime right. He's righteous all the time. And you know within yourself, you're not right all the time. Every now and then your mind gets off. You start thinking about stuff that's not like Jesus. And the only one that can help you to overcome that stuff is Jesus. He helps you to be born again the way he desires for you to be born again. Come on. Whosoever or whatsoever is born of God. It's a, read 1 John 5:1 once again. Yes.
Christ
yes,
is born of God.
That's truth.
And everyone that loves him,
come on, how do you get this new birth? You got to stop loving sin and start loving Jesus. You got to realize there's nothing in sin but death. I don't care how it dresses it up. I don't care how sweet it talks. Its result ends in death. The wage of sin is death. I was telling my wife, we dress these babies up. We say, oh, they're so precious. They're so cute. And we're so, oh, they're so adorable. And we kiss them and hug them, take all the pictures. But then when sin pops in there and sin snatches that baby, we get all depressed. We get all sad. We get all down. But you're forgetting the Lord already told you this fact. Before you got started, he said the wage of sin is death. We got to keep that before the creature. The wage of sin is death. Well, if you say, Elder Scott, I don't want to die. You got to get born again. You got to get in Jesus so Jesus can give you life, right? You got to get in Jesus so Jesus can give you life. So that he can open up your understanding to really what this thing called life really is. Job said it this way, the Lord gives and the Lord takes it away. In other words, he's the one that gives life and he the one takes life away. That means I have to humbly stay at the feet of Jesus and ask the Lord Jesus, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me a know-how so I can number my days. So I can pay attention to the clock. So I can pay attention to the calendar. And I don't want to waste no day. I don't want to spend no day in vanity. But I want my mind to be clear. I want my mind to be focused as to what this thing called life is really all about. Jesus said it's a certain, meaning it's a fact. You brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. You shall take nothing with you. You came into this world naked, and you're going to leave naked, right? Well, what's left? The only thing left is my soul. And the soul has got to cry out, Lord, let my soul live, right? Lord Jesus, let my soul live. Say, I'm come that you might have life. Lord, do what? Let my soul live. Don't let death plague me. Don't let death be my ruin. Don't let sin be my demise. But Lord Jesus, I want to live. And the way he tell you got to live is you got to be born again. You got to be born again of both what? Water. You can't cut no corners. You got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. First, you got to repent. You got to say, oh, no, I don't want to live in sin any longer. I don't want to skate around it. I don't want to dance around it. I don't want no part of sin. sin any longer. I realize that there's nothing in sin but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This is not Jesus. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. This is not Jesus. If it's not Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with it. That's repentance. That means you change your mind. You turn your life away from sin. And you stop to focus on Jesus. Jesus, make me who you want me to be, right? Repent. Then you got to go down in the water. In the name of Jesus Christ. You got to bring an end to that Adamic nature. Huh? You got to let Adam know, you are not going to rule me. You are not going to be controlling me no more. And how do you do that? You go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse said, no, you're not. As many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death. That means when I go down in the water, I'm taking on the death of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus die? He died to bring sin to an end. Huh? Come on! He died to bring sin to an end. Sin was ruining humanity before Jesus got up on that cross. But when he got up on that cross and said it is finished, he went down to the Lord part of the earth and took the keys. He took the keys from sin. He said, now I've got the keys above hell and death, right? If you want to live, look to me, right? Look to me, and you can live. You go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. You come up out of that water walking in the newness of life. Say, how am I walking in the newness of life? Because before you went down in that water, you were supposed to repent. You were supposed to say, I don't want to live like a sinner no more. I don't want sin to have control over me no more. I need to look to Jesus because he is my Savior. He is my deliverer from everything associated with sin. And whenever the enemy tried to get in my mind and tempt me, say, you should do this. You should do that. You should say this. You should go here. You should go there. You should hold this one's hand. You should hug this one. That's why you got to look to Jesus. And you got to be calling on Jesus. Remember, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means I got to keep on calling Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do what? Deliver me from this body of death. This body that keeps on thinking. That keeps on having an appetite to do things that I know you do not want me to do. That's why we keep calling Jesus. You've got to keep calling him till he delivers you from you, right? Got to deliver you from you. Go down in that water. Come up walking in the newness of life. Then you got to wait. You got to tarry until you are endued with power from where on high. Holy Ghost is Christ in you. Holy Ghost is Jesus coming and living down on the inside of you. Huh? Come on. You want Jesus to come and live down on the inside of you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Huh? If any man hear my voice. What is his voice? It's not that whisper in your ear. His voice is his word. Any man hear his word. His word is talking to you. What is his word telling you? If you're in sin, he's telling you to repent. Huh? You're doing something wrong, he's telling you to repent. You say something you shouldn't have, say, he's telling you to repent. Huh? If you say, well, Elder Scott, I'm walking like I'm supposed to walk. He's telling you, stay in the faith. Huh? Stay faithful to Jesus. Huh? Stay attached to Jesus. Draw nigh to Jesus. Get close to Jesus. Cleanse your hands. Huh? Whenever your hands get defiled, cleanse your hands, right? His word is talking to you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up the door, Lord says, I will come in. See, the Holy Ghost is Jesus coming on in. Huh? Everybody understand that? Holy Ghost is Jesus coming on in and coming on in and doing what? Supping with you. Huh?
He's having a conversation with you, your enemy, your soul. In other words, your soul is talking to Jesus. In other words, your spirit is talking to his spirit. Huh? That's the Holy Ghost. When you got the Holy Ghost, that means your inner man is talking with Jesus. And it's a conversation that's continual. Huh? It don't have no interruptions. It don't have no breaks. It don't have no pauses. It's continual. Huh? He helps you when you get off track. His spirit speaks up for us when we get off track. Don't judge him, because righteousness say, cut him off. Huh? But grace say, don't judge him. I'm going to work with him a little while longer. Huh? I'm going to trouble that mind. I'm going to give him a little word to trouble that mind, to help them to see the errors of their way. Huh? You better thank the Lord when he bothers your mind and helps you to see the errors of your way. And he gives you a mind to go back on your knees and do your first works all again. Huh? One of your first works, calling on Jesus, crying out to Jesus. This poor man cried, and the Lord did what hurt him. Saved him out of all of this trouble, right? Huh? Lord, bother on your mind like that. That means conversation is going on. That means communion is going on. But when you don't hear from Jesus, when you say, well, I don't hear from the Lord, I don't feel Jesus anymore, something has happened. That means the one that got in you done got out of you. Huh? He's gotten out of you. Why? Because you kicked him out. Huh? You told righteousness, I don't want you no more. Huh? Lord can't stay where he's not welcome. Huh? You've got to want the Holy Ghost. You got to desire the Holy Ghost. You got to desire to maintain the Holy Ghost, right? That's truth.
Yes.
Truth. It all stems from desire. And when the Lord goes out, he still goes right back to that same position. Standing at the door. Knocking. Huh? Giving you his word. Huh? Telling you, let me in. Let me in. You don't have to be in that unpeaceful state. Huh? You don't have to be in that state with no joy. You don't have to be in that state with no love. Huh? You don't have to be so evil. Huh? You don't have to be so short-tempered. Huh? Huh? Say, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm saved, but it ought to look like you're saved. Huh? Come on, Romans chapter number 14. Someone go over to Romans chapter number 14. I'm coming back to 1 John. Because I want to finish that up in chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 14. And look at verse number, start at verse number, what did I say, 14? Yes, 14. And look at around about verse number 15. 14 and 15.
But if thy brother be grieved with thy
yep. Uh-huh.
That now walkest thou not charity.
Uh-huh.
Destroy not him with thy
that's
meat,
true. That's right.
For whom Christ
that's right.
Died.
See, when you got the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost learns to work with everybody. It doesn't learn to put other people down. That's what I was talking to you all earlier this week. Huh? And we got to check that Holy Ghost that you say you got in you. Because the Holy Ghost will learn to work with your brothers and your sisters. Huh? If the Holy Ghost is in you, it'll work with your brothers and your sisters. You won't be so quick to try to put them down. Throw them to the side. Treat them like they don't mean anything. Huh? Come on. That's what the scripture says. Lord says, if your brother don't like that meat, what does he say?
Said, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat.
In other words, meat, what you're feeding them is not making them happy. Huh? Keep going.
Now walkest thou not charity.
Uh-huh.
Destroy not him.
Don't you destroy that fella because he chooses that diet plan. Huh? Don't you destroy that fella. You say, well, I don't like the way he eats. Well, you have to check the Holy Ghost inside of you. Holy Ghost don't give you that mind to destroy them. Holy Ghost gives you the mind to love them. Huh? No matter what. Even if they don't agree with you, you still do what? Love them, right? You don't destroy them. We've already got one out there trying to destroy us. It's called the devil, right? Because they ain't going up and down in the earth. Seeking whom he may devour. Huh? That thief come not but for to do what? Steal? That's true. That's why you got to check your spirit. Check what's inside of you. Got to let the Holy Ghost rule
and govern you. Read the next verse. Jesus. Keep going.
It says here, for whom Christ died.
Yes.
Let not then your good be evil.
Come on, saints. Don't let your good be what?
Evil.
That's why you get the Holy Ghost inside of you. Holy Ghost tells you, check your motive.
Right.
Check your reason. Why are you saying this? Why are you looking like this? And if it's not Jesus, you need to get rid of that thing. Huh? You say, Jesus don't want me to behave like this. Jesus don't want me to look like this. And if it's not Jesus, what is it? Who done crawled up inside of you, right? Who done crawled up in you? And who's calling the shot? Huh? You say, I got the Holy Ghost. But what good is it to say you had the Holy Ghost and he's not calling the shot? Huh? He's not in control. He's not in dominion over you. What good is it for you to say, I've got the Holy Ghost, but he's not in dominion over you? You need to check your spirit, right? You need to check what is really driving you, right? Huh? Huh? Keep going a little bit further. Oh, come. Now I want y'all to see this. What does it look like to have the Holy Ghost? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's what? It's righteousness. Come on, say it. Don't back up from it. What I've been telling you all for the past couple of weeks, we've got to do what is right. Huh? We've got to do what is right. We've got to talk right. We've got to live right. We've got to treat people right. Huh? You might not agree with them. They may treat you wrong, but you still got to stand for righteousness. Huh? Even when it hurts your feelings, you've got to stand for what is right, right? Huh? Even when it means you got to take the low road. Even when it means you got to go say, I'm sorry. Huh? When you got the Holy Ghost in you, you got a right spirit inside of you. And righteousness will make you stop by your brother and your sister and say, you know, I wasn't thinking right about you. Huh? I might not have said what was in my mind, but I wasn't treating you the way you deserve to be treated as a saint. Huh? And another saint will say, well, oh, you didn't do anything to me. And the saint that know that they got that issue say, no, I had it in my mind. And it wasn't like Jesus. And I got to bring every imagination. Huh? Come on, saints. You got to bring all of those thoughts. All that stuff that's contrary to Jesus, you got to bring that stuff under subjection. Under subjection to what? To Jesus. To holiness. To righteousness, right? What I was thinking wasn't right. How I was saying praise the Lord, it wasn't right. And the person that got the Holy Ghost said, oh, I thank the Lord for your mind. Thank the Lord for your mind. It's okay. I love you anyway. That's when the Holy Ghost operates like it's supposed to. The Spirit of the Lord moves from heart to heart, breast to breast. When righteousness is in control. I'm trying to tell you, whenever the flesh tries to assert itself, whereby when you have death and all that other stuff going around, all that stuff is flesh. All that stuff is all about the feeling. That's why when you have death in your family, thing you need to do is get on your knees. You need to get on your knees and you need to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, help me not to be in my flesh. Help me not to be in my flesh. Why? Because you've already opened up my understanding to what all of this is about, right? We don't grieve like the world. We don't grieve like the world. We don't fall apart. Even when sinners die, we don't fall apart. Not the world fall apart. Why? Because we've already got the reality of that. We already know the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. We ask the Lord Jesus, give me a mind to praise you no matter what is going on. Give me a mind to thank you no matter what is going on. That's true. That's the benefit of having the Holy Ghost. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. All your hope is in this life only. You ain't got no Holy Ghost, you be all at the casket. Woe is me. Why did you take him away from me? I don't understand. You be all out of sorts. And then you want to come shout later on. You a double-minded person. You cuckoo, right? Something is wrong with your brain, right? You really need the Holy Ghost, don't you? Why? Because the Holy Ghost is a spirit of peace. Huh? Come on, don't y'all understand that? Holy Ghost is a spirit of peace. It's not a spirit of chaos. It's not a spirit of confusion. Holy Ghost is a spirit of what? A peace. Huh? Come on, don't you forget what them men were saying when they were on that ship and that ship was raging and the storm was carrying it left to right. Huh? Those that had no Holy Ghost were nervous. Huh? Those that had no Holy Ghost said, we're going to perish. But those that had the Holy Ghost, those that are the Holy Ghost, those that are God Almighty, he fell asleep. Huh? Even in the midst of the storm, he was asleep. See, that's the benefit of having the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will keep you at peace. Even in the midst of the storm. That's your evidence. That's your proof, right? How did you behave yourself when this storm came up in your life? The real you gonna come out. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. The real you is gonna come out. Say, oh, I said something. But then I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. You need to check yourself. Yes. What you mean I need to check myself, Elder Scudder? You trying to tell me you don't have no mistakes? Nah, it ain't about not having mistakes. Right. It's the attitude to go along with it. Right. What was your attitude when you said that thing that came out of your mouth? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You felt you were justified saying it. You felt that person deserved it because of how they treated you. And that's not Jesus. Huh? Jesus said, vengeance is mine. Huh? Come on. Jesus said, vengeance is mine. It's all right for you to be angry, but you better not sin. You better take heed to your ways that you sin not with your tongue. You better keep your mouth with the bridle. Holy Ghost should be the bridle in your mouth, right? Holy Ghost should teach you how to say,
Yes, Lord. Help, Lord.
Huh? Say, you got a whole lot of holes in your tongue. Holy Ghost is working on me. Holy Ghost is working on me. Why? Because I don't want to say nothing out of pocket. Right? I don't want to say nothing to bring shame to Jesus. I don't want to say anything that's going to make the Lord feel, you know, hurt. That's why I take heed to my ways. That I sin not with what? My tongue. Don't you realize that's your proof as to whether the Holy Ghost is in you? Why? Because that tongue is a world of iniquity. It is an untamable fire. That's why you really need to have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Why? Because he starts with your tongue. He starts with your tongue. You speak with other tongues as Jesus gives the utterance, right? Starts with your tongue. He takes that member of your body that no man can take. And he brings that thing under subjection to him. He makes that thing praise him. He makes that thing glorify Jesus. But every now and then, that tongue gets beside itself. That tongue gets boasting. Starts to say things it shouldn't say. Starts to feel things it shouldn't feel. And you need to bring that thing under subjection. You need to let the Holy Ghost be inside of you and say, that's not me. And if it's not Jesus, who is it? Who is it? And you got to let the Lord work. The Lord will work. Go back over to 1 John. Where y'all at? 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John 5. Read a little bit more. 5, and I think you're all at 2. And then someone go over to 3. Somebody go over to 3 really quick. Really quick. Chapter number 3 and start at verse number 3.
5 and 2.
Yes.
By this we know that we love the truth.
Yes.
Of God.
Yes.
When we love God. And keep his
commandments. And we focus on keeping his word.
Right.
We focus on keeping the Lord's word. Yes. Lord, open up my understanding to your word. Not that I can just go around quoting it, but I want to do it. I want the word to actually live inside of me. I need to have peace everywhere. Y'all understand that? You may be in a home that's full of confusion, but if you get the Holy Ghost like you're supposed to, Holy Ghost will keep you at peace. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Holy Ghost will keep you at peace.
Holy Ghost will tell you when to shut your mouth. Huh? Holy Ghost will tell you, keep your mouth shut. And that'll be all up in your face. You ain't got nothing to say. I thought she was a man. I thought she was going to do something. But Holy Ghost tell you, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Huh? Keep your mouth shut. Huh? Then all of a sudden, when Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde get finished, and come back to the senses, then they want to be sweet. Holy Ghost will still tell you, keep your mouth shut. Don't get caught up in the flow. Huh? Call it for what it is. It's an unstable spirit, right? I don't want no part of it, right?
It's the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm trying to tell you, I ain't going to talk about that this morning. But it's the truth. I'm trying to tell you how you behave yourself when you have the Holy Ghost, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I ain't got that kind of life. Well, you better get the Holy Ghost. You better stop playing with that name. You better get down on your knees and cry out to Jesus. And make sure you rise. Huh? Get up off the altar. Full of the Holy Ghost. Huh? The Holy Ghost is a controlling spirit. It is the spirit of truth. It will lead you and guide you into what all truth. Even when the truth is about yourself, right? Even when it's about you, right? The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. Say, Stephen, you ain't acting right. Stephen, you ain't talking right. Stephen, you ain't thinking right. What you doing? That ain't the right way to do it. Holy Ghost will help you if you want to be helped. Huh? And then you have to display humility. Huh? You got to swallow your pride. Huh? You got to get out of yourself. And you got to ask the Lord, Jesus, help me. Huh? Help get rid of all of this stuff that's not like you. Help get rid of all of these unclean thoughts. These attitudes that are not like you, right? Take this stuff away from me, right?
Lord, hallelujah.
That's the truth.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
That's part of your prayer life. It's part of your prayer life. You got to get down there and you got to cry out to Jesus. You got to cry out to the Lord. Remember what this section of the lesson is talking about? You got to exalt the name of Jesus. You got to get down there and you got to exalt the name of Jesus. You got to let that name be the way you express yourself. That's when I'm down there calling on Jesus, when I want the Lord to help me, I got to say his name like I want his name to help me. I don't get down there and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. No, I got to say, Jesus, Jesus. I ain't worried about nobody else. I'm talking to Jesus. And I'm letting the Lord know in the back of my mind, help me. But I know he gave me his name for me to be delivered. So I say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. But in my mind, I'm saying, help me, help me, help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't stop calling him until he helped me, right?
Thank you, Lord.
And then after he helped me, I say his name with thanksgiving in the back of my mind. You know, instead of me saying, Jesus, Jesus, help me, I'm saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Huh? I'm not letting go of his name because his name is salvation, right? Does everybody understand that? I'm exalting his name. Huh? Above everything that I'm going through. Huh? When I'm up, I'm still exalting his name. When I'm down, I'm still exalting his name. When I feel all right, I'm still exalting his name. Huh? Everything has got to be about the name of Jesus, right? That's truth, say. Huh? Read me a little. Read me a little bit more. Keep me moving. Keep me moving. Keep me moving.
Jesus. It says, but now, by this we know he loves the children of God. When we love God,
yes.
His commandments. For this is the love of God.
This is his
that
love.
That we keep his commandments.
Uh-huh.
And his commandments.
His word is not grievous. Uh-huh. Only part of you that don't want to do the word is the flesh.
Yeah.
Huh? Everybody heard what I just said?
Yeah.
The only part of you that don't want to do the word is the flesh. That's why you got to be careful who you hang around. If you hang around people that are fleshly, they're going to encourage you to go against your better judgment. Huh? In your mind, you say, I know I shouldn't be doing this. But you're hanging around fleshly folk. And all they know to do is flesh. Those that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Huh? But to be carnally minded is death. Huh? Don't you realize? You are telling the Lord, I don't want to live. I want to die. Huh? Why? I ain't saying that. Yes, y'all. Look who you're hanging around. Look what's in your earlobe, right? You saying, Lord, I want to die. I'm okay with dying. Huh? But then when you say you don't want no more death, you start to hang around those that are spiritual. Those that got their mind on Jesus. Those that are doing things to exalt the name of Jesus. Huh? Those that got Jesus all around. Say, what y'all gonna be doing when you come here? Singing about Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
What y'all gonna do when y'all when we sit down and eat? We gonna be eating. We still gonna be talking about Jesus.
Right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. When we get up out of our food, when we come in here for the afternoon service, what y'all gonna do? Still sing about Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus. Coming here for prayer on Tuesday, Friday, what y'all gonna be doing? Calling on Jesus. Oh, we're gonna have a week of prayer. Mm-hmm. What we gonna have? Y'all trying to have a week of prayer? Something's gonna come pray for y'all. No. He can get on his knees with us if he wants to.
Yeah.
We don't need nobody in the pulpit praying for us. We need to get on our knees and call Jesus by ourselves. Huh? A week of prayer? What are y'all going to be doing? Calling on Jesus. But y'all was calling on him Monday. What you going to be doing too? Calling on Jesus tomorrow. How long are you going to be doing it? Calling him until he answers, right? Until he answers. Huh? Seems like y'all should be saying more than that. Nah. We don't need to say no more than that.
Nope.
God highly exalted that name.
Yes.
God gave himself a name which is above what? Everything.
Everything.
Huh? Everything we need. Don't y'all thank the Lord you got a mind to think like that? Everything we need is in the name of Jesus. Huh? When you need peace, all you need to do is lose yourself in the name. When Zay Alice said, I ain't got no joy. Lose yourself in the name, right? Yeah. Lose yourself in that name. Everything I need is in the name. Come on, where'd you stop at? Five and what?
5-3.
Yes?
Keep going.
Yeah, a little bit.
Whatsoever was born of God, overcoming through.
Whoa, hold up. This is your proof. This is your proof that the Holy Ghost is in you. When you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, you have an overcoming spirit. Huh? Come on. When you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you have an overcoming spirit. A spirit to overcome the flesh.
Yeah.
Flesh shouldn't be having dominion over you.
Wow.
Now when you've got the Holy Ghost, right?
Yeah.
What, read that verse again.
Uh-huh.
Whatsoever is born of God overcomes
the world. And this is the victory.
Yes.
Overcometh the world.
Even our faith.
Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth?
That
Jesus is the Son of God.
That's why I just trying to tell y'all, the devil just don't want you to believe.
Right.
If he can just keep your mind blinded to truth, he's happy. Huh? Come on over to chapter 3 and look at verse 3. I'm going to close up a book. I'm done.
And every man that has this hope.
The hope of what? Getting out of this body. Huh? That's why you can really tell when you got the Holy Ghost. When you got the Holy Ghost, you're not afraid to die. I was kind of, oh, that's deep. No, you're not afraid to die.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the Holy Ghost, when you got the Holy Ghost, now I'm not telling you go out there looking for death.
Right.
I'm telling you not afraid of it. Huh?
Right.
No, I don't want to leave my wife.
Yep.
I don't want to leave my children. I definitely don't want to leave the saints. But death,
amen.
Death, the fear of death.
Right.
The Lord has opened up my understanding.
Right. Yeah.
That's why you got to really have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you.
Right.
Holy Ghost is my hope outside of this body. I got a hope that this body is not all that I am. When I get out of this body, the Lord has promised me another body, a building not made with hands. It's an eternal body, right? That's right. That's why you got to have the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is my hope of a glorified body. That's why I thank. That's why you can really tell when you got the Holy Ghost, because this stuff that's going on in the world don't do nothing for you. I don't care where you people drive nice stuff, they live in nice places, but that stuff really don't do nothing for you. You be saying, oh, that's really nice. Every now and then you look and say, oh, that's real nice. Man, what that would be like for me to drive in there? Then the Lord will snatch your brain back.
Amen.
Snatch your brain back.
Right.
Say, Stephen, you didn't bring nothing into this world, and you ain't going to take nothing out of it. Huh? You come in with zero, and you're going to leave out with zero. Then the Lord said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't need that. Huh? Just having food and rain. Huh? Learn how to what? Content. Huh? Holy Ghost is a mind to be what? Content. In what? Whatever state you in. Huh? How about you got to have the Holy Ghost to be like that, right? You ain't got no Holy Ghost, you're going to be itchy. You're going to be like, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And when you get it, you be walking around like you just, oh, I got it. I'm living. Huh? You be throwing money all around. Huh? The Holy Ghost be looking at you. There ain't no Holy Ghost inside of you. Huh? Holy Ghost teaches you how to compose yourself, right? To discipline yourself, right? Huh? Come on. Every man that hath this hope purifies himself. Why? Because Jesus is pure. Keep going. All right. Sin is the transgression of the law. Right? Keep going. The law is that divine boundary that separates good from evil or right from wrong. When you cross from doing right, from right over to wrong, you are sinning or transgressing. You're going in an area of life Jesus tells you do not go in, right? He tells you to come out from that world, right? Be separate from that world, right? Touch not the unclean thing, right? That's what Jesus says. So, but when you go and do it, the Lord says you are sinning, huh? And you ain't got to really try hard. Because all you got to do is just be born. Huh? And y'all understand that? I said it. Yes, I did. You ain't got to try to be no sinner. All you got to do is just be born. Born where? Born in this earth. Have somebody that you call a mama and a daddy. You are automatically a sinner, right? Huh? I say that's what the word says. Word call you a sinner from birth. The word call you a liar from birth. Huh? The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking what? You don't have to try to be no sinner. You already that. Huh? Anything, you need to be trying real hard to get out of sin, right? That's true. Read a little bit more. Yes? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Who is he? Now, I really don't have to go no further. We just need to be honest with ourselves. When I'm out there doing things that I know Jesus tells me not to do, I got to stop going around saying Jesus is in control. Because you lying on Jesus. Because the scripture says you are of the devil. Huh? Y'all don't like it, but it's the truth. That's why I'm so glad I ain't write this book. If I wrote this book, I guess we'd be chasing me all over the world. But I did not write this book. Huh? I didn't write it. It's already telling you about yourself. You just pay attention to read it. He said, he that is born, if you're right, if you got righteousness in you, you're going to do right. Huh? You don't have to try to do right. You're going to do it by virtue of what's in you, right? And we say, well, why do we tarry so long? Because we want to make sure you have what you're supposed to have. You need to live right beyond these four walls. You need to live right when ain't nobody else around you. You need to be right. You need to be thinking right when you at the stoplight. Huh? Your favorite old song, come on. Hmm? One you used to do with. Huh? See, you just because you get the Holy Ghost don't mean the Lord erases your memory. Your memory is still intact. I mean, you need to really have the Holy Ghost inside of you so that you can bring that no good thing under subjection. Huh? That's the truth. That thing still got your feet tapping. Something's a little wrong with you. Something ain't right on the inside of you. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, you don't want to stop breathing with that spirit inside of you. You say, well, Scott, I know. You know I know. I'm saying, I don't know nothing about you. Only thing I know is what the word says. It is up to you to check yourself and make sure you have what you're supposed to have. Because one thing is going to be true. Once you stop breathing, you're going to cross over into eternity. And there's only two places for you to wind up. is either with Jesus or you're going to wind up in hell's fire. Huh? And now it's up to you to keep doing what? Checking yourself. Huh?
That's true. I'm done. I told y'all I'm going to stop. It's 1 o'clock. But I told y'all. Say you want some more? Come on back next week. Come on back Wednesday. You get a little bit more. But you got to really focus on that. You got to make sure you have what you're supposed to have. Huh? You got to make sure you have what you're supposed to have. There's evidence when you have the Holy Ghost. Remember, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. I didn't finish that up. But it's what? It's righteousness. It's peace. And it's joy. Where? Right, right. That's when the kingdom of God is really inside of you. Kingdom, break that word down. It's when Jesus is in rule. It's when the king has dominion over you. See, when you have the Holy Ghost, you're giving up your right. Huh? No more I. No more about me and what I want to do. It's about whatever makes Jesus happy. It's whatever makes Jesus pleased, right? Remember, but before the translation comes on you, you've got to have the testimony that you did what? You please Jesus. Not just by what you say, but also what you do. All right? So check yourselves, saints. I trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus.